Greetings to you all this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. I have a lot of thoughts as I stand in this building again. I just didn't know how it would go to bring the word this morning, and probably tried to evade it. But this morning God gave me a little message. Any notes that I have from the recent sermons are stuck in my Bible, didn't seem to be right, but we just want to take it from God this morning, whatever he's brought to my attention. And I guess I struggle a bit to know what to say or how to say it. But God's word is real. It's alive and well. It's as alive and well as Jesus himself is, and it's as active as the Spirit of God is. And when God's word can speak for itself without our interruptions, if you please. And yet sometimes some exposition on the word does help us, can be a blessing to us. And yet this morning I find myself in great need. I am on very equal plane with anyone that's here. A sinner saved by grace and endeavoring by God's grace to take steps forward. And some of them steps have been slow in the last while, and we've been working on some things. I told the congregation before we had a communion service just a few weeks ago that the brother in the devotion or in the message, I think it was, talked about being renewed by the Spirit in the inner man. And it's one thing that the things that people see, the things that the family sees, that maybe be okay. That maybe what you say when you're in public or sitting in a meeting, that be okay and good. But it's another thing when we're by ourselves and with no one else is looking, and we're that it be right then. And it all has to do then with what's in the inner man, the innermost part of us, that each thought and each motive would be under his control. Each thought and each motive beneath his control, the songwriter says. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at these days. Just focusing in on a few things. I was talking to my wife yesterday as we were traveling here. We're sitting in some teaching in the last Friday and Saturday, yesterday morning, and listening and hearing and sharing with people and the needs that are. And then thinking about some of the people we've been talking to lately in ministry and so on. So with all that being said, as an introduction, I invite you to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Long time ago, a brother had a devotional on this in Central America, and he said it's a little bit like if we could wind time back to a time maybe 25 years ago, and some of you were younger than you are now. There wasn't cell phones in everybody's pocket. There wasn't texts flying from this anywhere on the globe. There wasn't. But there might have been a day whenever you and your family went to visit Uncle So-and-so, maybe in a distant state. And you, when you got there, you had the wonderful time, slept a few nights at Uncle's house or Uncle and Aunt's place or maybe Grandpa's house. And then the family, maybe it's about this season of the year, and the family is ready to leave now. We've been with Uncle So-and-so for a while. And as the cousins and uncles and aunts are separating ways, the windows are open yet, and you're waving, and you say, yeah, it's good to hope to come back again. Hey, remember the good time we had? And you're kind of just them standing over here, and you in the vehicle slowly driving away. And they're back and forth, chitter-chatter. And he said that's what he thinks of when he thinks of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Apostle Paul is going down through just a checklist. Do this. Remember this. Don't forget this over here. And that's where we're at. I want to focus on several verses this morning, but we're going to read the passage, at least some of it. But I perceive that what I observe in this audience today, there's a lot of need. But I want you to remember that, as I said at the beginning, there's need here. So may God's Spirit minister to us all. And may His Word be with us. And if there was anything like pouring in oil and wine this morning, may God's Spirit do that. And to God be the glory. I'm starting in verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. If you want a title for this morning, that's exactly the phrase, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As we read this, I'm just mindful this morning as we start in verse 11, this thing of comfort yourselves together. I don't know how many of you during this last week, I don't know how many of you during this last year have stood in need of comfort, have felt yourself down and out. Where do I go? What do I do? Where's an answer anywhere? Everything in life seems upside down and sideways. And if you can find somebody that can comfort you, it's a huge blessing. If you can find someone that can get right down with you on your level and say, you know, here's at least something to think about. Here's a word. And you kind of hang on to that word of encouragement. And that goes right along with edifying one another. A brother from our congregation on a given Sunday morning had a few thoughts on being an encourager. And my dear friends, this morning, let's never forget that if there's a need in someone's life, encouragement goes a lot further than criticism. Encouragement, a word of compliment, a word of blessing, goes a lot further than more condemnation and more running them down. They already know what their problems are. They might not know them all, but they know some. But sometimes encouragement is exactly what it takes to get somebody to get their feet on the rock again. It happens in the home. Sometimes a child has done something that they shouldn't have done. Sometimes it's not working real well. And sometimes it's easy for us as parents to look at our children and criticize and fuss about the things that weren't right. But maybe there's something right. Maybe there's a little thing that was right. Maybe in this scenario, a lot needs to be set straight. But there's still a child. They still need some help. They still need some encouragement. And sometimes that word of compliment goes a long way. It goes that way for young people. It goes that way for those who are floundering. They don't know which ends up. They feel at sea. They feel like they're in a tempestuous goings-on. We were at the Atlantic coast, up there in the state of Maine, the rocky shoreline of the New England states just a few weeks ago as a family. It's a place I never was really before. And I was just amazed again at the Bible talks about the waves of the sea and how tempestuous it really is. And they had a place there called Thunder Hole. And Thunder Hole was exceedingly quiet the day we were there. But I talked to a coworker who's been there more than once, and he said, you know, Virgil, I've seen that place right at Thunder Hole. And he said there has been times when waves are crashing in there 10 to 15 feet in the air and making a terrific noise. But maybe that's exactly where you feel you are. And sometimes encouraging and edifying one another is exactly what we need. Then it gives some teaching about our leadership and knowing them that are over us in the Lord. And there's a lot that could be said there, but we'll probably just go on to verse 13 and just talk a little bit about esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake. Your ordained brethren and those that lead out in the brotherhood put a lot of work into it. And yet they're human too. And they need our prayers. They need our support. But they, and sometimes they need some words of direction. But if we respect them, it goes a long way. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And if you ever have the need to, give a word of caution, a word of admonition perhaps. The Bible says we should do it as a son in treating his father. Looking at them with an attitude of respect. And God, blessed is the leader who can listen to the heart of someone who's trying to help him do better tomorrow than he did yesterday. And then it says, be at peace among yourselves. There is no greater blessing for a pastor than to know there's peace in the flock. And I realize that some of you seated here know nothing of what that means. There's been turmoil and stress and broken relationships. But peace in the brotherhood is a treasure that we must treasure. And we must hang on to it for dear life. And if God has blessed you with peace in your brotherhood, hold on to it tenaciously. If God has blessed you with a home life that is peaceful, don't let it go. The problem is, though, that if it's gone well in the brotherhood, the devil knows it. And if it's going well in your family, the devil knows it. And we must identify those works of the devil to destroy the peace in our homes and in congregations. But if it's going well, if there is peace, treasure it deeply. If there's peace, but if there's not peace at any cost, find a place where there is. If there's not peace, then look for peace. Find an answer. May God help you if that is your condition this morning. And Jesus does have the answers, and Jesus is a need meeter. Let's never forget it, folks. Be at peace among yourselves, because peace in the brotherhood is possible. And peace for our own mental sanity, peace in the brotherhood and peace in the family needs to be. We heard about peace this morning in that exhortation about the fruit of the Spirit. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. And there is a time for rebuke. There is a time for correction, admonition, corrective discipline. That happens in a level at home life. And it also happens if you decide that you're not going to listen to certain laws of the land. There are certain blue lights and certain vehicles that help us to line up a bit. But that God's methods in the family of God and God's methods in our homes, there's ways to set wrongs right that need to be taken care of. Hopefully we can do it in a spirit of meekness, a spirit of Christ-likeness, and not in a spirit of anger. But that the unruly could be taken care of. The Bible says something about it, and for a reason, okay? But my dear friends, this morning, the words that just kept going through my mind as I had a time of prayer this morning and thinking about what maybe we could have this morning get really real when we start about comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. You might say, well, I don't have a feeble mind. I can think straight. That might be the case. But there are some, my friends, this morning whose hearts have been so beat and so worn out with what's happening, they don't know what to do. Just listening to a message yesterday from a friend, and he didn't really know where to go to church this morning, is the truth of the matter, because of some things he's facing. And we've talked a lot, we've prayed together, he's cried because of some things they're facing. Comfort them. And some people, even though they have a brilliant mind, just because of the unrest, the lack of peace, there's not peace there. They wish they could find it. If they could find anchor into peace somewhere, they would, but they don't know how to do it, where to do it. And right along with that, it says support the weak. You know, this is a huge thing. The Bible says, wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. For what reason? Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen. You know, my friends, this morning, the strongest warriors of time, the strongest evangelists, the strongest church members, the ones who have been faithful through thick and thin, every one of them somewhere, someday, has a bad day. The strongest and most valiant of people in the Christian faith have had moments when they were at rock bottom. And God says, those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Identify with them as the great high priest who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that's why the Bible says, wherefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And most of us have been around long enough to know that although we might feel like today it's going well, we can probably identify a time in the past when it wasn't very well, when we needed some help. And blessed is that person who knows how to get down beside a broken heart and start to make beauty out of ashes with the help of Almighty God. You know, when we go over to Isaiah 35, it talks about it. I might just turn there to get this wording a little bit better. And I don't understand this as well in the English language when I think about this. But it says here, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. This is Isaiah 35 verse 8. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, the fool, shall not err therein. It talks about the way of holiness. And my dear friends, this morning, somehow in life, we need to find the way of holiness. In the wickedness of the world, we need to find the way of holiness. But we don't have to be the most brilliant and intelligent to find it. It says, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, the fool shall not err therein. Now I'm going to take a minute here and jump over to Spanish. It talks about the way of holiness, and it says, por torpe que sea, no se extraviará. It means this simple, just putting it in English again. It says, you might not be the most brilliant person out there. You might not understand it all. But if you're willing to walk in the way of holiness, you won't go off the track if you keep your eye on holiness. Por torpe que sea, no se extraviará. God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit can keep us on the highway of holiness if we just are willing to follow Him. This Word will keep us on the straight and narrow way. The Word of God will keep us there and help us to stay there. We don't have to have all the doctrines and all the stuff down pat. It's a little bit like my friend Doug. He came to know the Lord. He didn't know what to do with a lot of sin in his past. He had been a sinner for years and years, and his wife was somewhat of a Christian, prayed for her husband year by year by year, but she stood by her husband. And one day, Doug became a Christian. One day, Doug got saved. And he thought back about all the bad advice. He had raised an entire family and not walked in the ways of the Lord. And he said, "What should I do with all the sin of my past? What should I do?" I said, "You know what you need to do? When you open God's Word today and you read, 'Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.' If you got angry at somebody that day, if you got upset with somebody you work with, somebody you relate to, you just simply need to make it right with them. Go apologize to them. Just say, 'You know what? I did wrong today.' Just make that little step. If tomorrow you read, 'Be patient toward all men,' which I think that word, if you then try to be patient today. Work on that. If you read the verse, 'Let the peace of God rule in your heart,' work on that the next day, little by little. And my dear friends, I'm amazed right now watching just some little situations where I'm seeing little evidences that although the physical appearance and the habits are still far from what God wants them to be, I'm seeing in at least one friend's life just small steps toward behaving himself in a more godly way. He was never taught. He was never taught these things. He wasn't. He doesn't know. But one day at work, and he does a lot of smoking and stuff like that, but one day at work not so long ago, he was sitting beside his machine in the machine shop where he works. And he took his cap off for a while. And his boss came around and said, "Hey there, what you doing? You praying?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I need to talk to him a little bit. I need to talk to him a little bit." You might say that man is so far. But last Sunday night, when we had an outdoor song service, that man was present in an outdoor song service in a park, and he had about four other friends with him. On Wednesday evenings, they gather for a Bible study, and they're inviting people from church to come and teach them from God's Word. And I don't care how many do-rags they had wrapped around their heads and how many tattoos and how many cigarettes were packed in the pocket. Por torpe que sea, no se extraviera. They don't have to go off the right way if they keep walking the way God's telling them to walk. To God be the glory. And God can guide anyone here or any neighbor, friend, lost person that you know. There's a right way. There's a holy way. And God can help us to find it and get walking in the right direction. Turn toward the light. The eyes toward the light. The eyes toward Jesus. And ultimately, the Lamb is worthy. Nothing that we have done. To God be the glory. Be patient toward all men. This takes patience. It takes patience, my friends, to walk beside the feeble-minded. It takes patience to walk beside those who have never known. The Bible teaches us that the high priest has compassion on the ignorant and those who are turned out of the way. Why are they turned out of the way? They're turned out of the way because of offenses. They're turned out of the way because of broken homes. They're turned out of the way because it didn't work. That the profession on the pulpit on Sunday morning wasn't working in day-by-day life. They're turned out of the way. But be patient toward all men. See that none render unto any man evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good. In the worst of situations, there's at least one thing we should try to do right. There's at least one good thing that we should notice and try to do. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and toward all men. Follow that which is good. There's something right to do. There's something right to do. There's a little thing we should do right, or try to. And whether that's in a brother's meeting, whether it's in a sister's activity, whether it's in family worship, whether it's in personal devotions, whether it's phone time, there's something right to do. Do good among yourselves and then toward all men. A little thing that we can do for someone else. Then rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. But you know, sometimes rejoicing is hard. If we're under an emotional load, rejoicing doesn't come easy. But sometimes God blesses us with a friend, someone who cares, someone who really sympathizes and empathizes. And there's reason to rejoice then. That's huge, to rejoice evermore and hard to complete. And then it says, pray without ceasing. And friends, this is one area that I have a lot to grow in. I don't pray nearly enough. I don't know how you find it. But maybe it's not praying without ceasing in the sense that we are talking to God all the time, but at least be in a spirit where we could pray, or if we have opportunity to pray. There's a lot could be said there. And then giving thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's hard to give thanks. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. It says in everything, in the circumstance. In the circumstance. In this situation, there's something to thank God for. Since you all know about it, back at the time of my mother's death, it's hard. But there was a lot to thank God for. A lot to thank God for. And when I think about things and looking across this assembly and see people here who ministered to us, in spite of that, there was a lot to thank God for. In the situation, there was a lot to thank God for. And furthermore, it's okay that mother today is not suffering the way she was. It's good, and we can thank God for that. It's tough to face these realities, but God is still good. It's the will of God that we give thanks and find at least... One fellow I was talking to a couple weeks ago, he said, you know what? He said, this is terrible. I said, brother, when you wake up tomorrow morning, try to find at least one thing to thank God for. At least one thing. And then he messaged me back a couple days later and said, you know what, Virgil? He said, yeah, actually, I do have some things to thank God for. It's not as bad as it could be. It could be a lot worse. Verse 19 is one that really speaks to my heart. I've been thinking a lot lately, talking about this idea of quenching not the Spirit. Did you know the Bible says that the Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And things that I need to do to make sure that that temple stays clean, things that I need to do to make sure that that temple is what God wants it to be, that it be holy. And that has to do with the stuff that goes through my head, my mind. It has a lot to do with what I use my eyes for, or where I focus them. In a world of wickedness, in a world of ungodliness, in phone screens and computer screens, if you have access to such, that are not, there's a lot there that we shouldn't go for. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit has to do with when God's nudging us in an area of our lives to walk more holy, walk more like Jesus, spend more time in the Word, spend more time in prayer. Quench not the Spirit. When God nudges us to say a word of encouragement to a brother or sister or young person or child, perhaps, quench not the Spirit. If God's telling you to do it, then do it. Maybe a small thing, but do it then. Do what you can. It might be a small thing, but it might make a world of difference in someone's life. Quench not the Spirit. The story is told of a Christian lady who was driving down the road one day, and she knew this neighbor was there at that house, and she saw, as she drove past, she saw that this person had their head, as they drove past the window, they noticed the person was like down like this and having a bad day. And they felt prompting of the Spirit of God to go back and talk to that person. And somehow it didn't happen. A day or two later, they saw in the obituaries of the newspaper that that very person in that house had committed suicide. And they felt very condemned. And they could say, like none other, quench not the Spirit. The story is different with another boy. His dad was a pastor in the city church. Pastor in the city church. And they decided one day that this was evangelism time. They're going to go out and pass out tracts in the city. This might not happen here and might not happen in Cannon County, but this little boy, watching his dad's vision and listening to his daddy pray for people, he decided, you know what? I'm going to try to help today. When he got to church, they discovered that it was raining that day. They decided the evangelism efforts are called off for today. We're not passing out tracts today. And the little boy decided, you know what, I'm going to do it anyhow. I don't know what his age was. Maybe he was 14, 15. I don't know. Maybe he's a Christian. I don't know. What I do know is that he went to this certain house and knocked on the door. Nobody answered. He went to the house and knocked on the door again. No answer. And after a while, a man came. Yeah, what do you want? He said, I came to bring you a gospel tract today. Oh. Man read the tract. The next Sunday, he came to that church. He said, you know, I had a rope around my neck. I was fixing to jump off a chair when I heard the knock on the door. And I've heard other stories in more recent past. Quench not the Spirit. If God's telling you to talk to a soul, talk to him. If God's telling you to encourage somebody, encourage him. If God's telling you to take a couple minutes out of your busy schedule to step aside, go out to a quiet corner and pray for somebody, do it. Get it done. Please. Somebody's life might be at stake. There's many stories that can be told of those who listened to God's Spirit and those who quenched it. And the results sometimes are the difference between spiritual life and spiritual death and perhaps physical life or physical death sometimes. Whether we quench the Spirit or whether we do not. And I'm first to admit that I have a lot of room to grow in that one. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Hold fast to the right. Hold fast that which is good. Never let it go. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We could talk all morning about any one of these verses probably. Separation from the world and so on. What it means, what it looks like. But abstain from all appearance of evil. And it's one thing that people who, like my friends that I talked about a bit ago, the day is going to come when they will realize that there's a few things that they'll need to change to abstain from appearance of evil. But God can lead them and God can work with them. And God can do His work in your life if there's something that you need to do to be less like the world and more like Christ. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the spirit is the most inner part of us, that which connects with the spirit of God. And if we're not converted, it's that which connects with the spirit of the evil one. Who is in control of your life? Is it the spirit of God today that's in control, or is it the spirit of the evil one? And God wants to have control of our spirit. God wants to have control of our mind. And then our soul. What about our soul? Our soul is that part of us that is our personality, that which is our character, that which is our even likes and dislikes, if you please. When a person is converted, this character is transformed. The personality can be made different because Jesus is now in control. How is our spirit and how is our soul? And then it says, body, be preserved blameless. And I think about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is my body being used? Are my faculties being used for God's glory? Preserve blameless. Wow, that's a huge word right there. Blameless. My spirit, my soul, and my body. You know what happens when a person passes away? When a person passes away, the spirit and the soul depart from the body. And most of us have seen how that works. And the body then returns, the spirit returns to God who gave it. And the body needs to be taken care of in an honorable way. But God wants our spirit, our soul, and our body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be preserved blameless until we are called from this life into the life to come. And you might say, how is this all done? How can we get this done? You know what? Faithful is He that calleth you. If God's calling you to make a decision for Him today, if God's calling you to give your life to His Lordship, if God's calling you to a change in church life, if God's calling you this morning to tune up your spiritual understanding and your Bible obedience, if God's asking you that, if God's calling you to that, He will be faithful to help you make those steps in the right direction. God will help you in that. Faithful is He. Faithful is He who also will do it. He will do it if you allow Him to do it. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure, it says in Philippians. He will help us get there if we allow Him to take control. Lord, take control. Control of my life. Faithful is He. Patient is He. Long-suffering is He. Who also will do it if we allow Him to. Brethren, pray for us. Let us pray for each other, not faint, by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright, and it's almost in sight. And I trust in my heart you'll go there. But you know what? Pray one for another. The ministry of prayer is gigantic. We can do it flat on our backs in bed. We can do it kneeling somewhere. We can do it driving down the road in a car. Brethren, pray for us. Let us pray one for another. It's the most huge ministry. You know what? One of the little things that we can do, even after a service like this, if we come across somebody that's in some of the situations that we talked about a little bit ago, one little thing that we can do. If we find ourselves with someone who is maybe weeping because it's not going well, if they don't know what ends up and which way to turn, one huge thing that you can do, and yet it's so small, is put your hand on their shoulder, if it's appropriate, and say, God in heaven, have mercy upon this person. God, give direction to this needy soul. God, give them light and courage for one more day. Brethren, pray for us. Let's pray for each other. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. It's a small commandment. And Daddy will recognize this story. I just had this in instruction class about 3 weeks ago or so. That is a strange concept for some people. Just saying. There's a lot of people that don't believe that that's really necessary for modern 2026 mentality. It doesn't fit somehow. But remember the time when we had a new believer in Central America, and he knew that this was strange. In the Tiku culture, it's about as the antithesis of machoism. It goes totally against it. And there was this one man that came to see him one day, and he sat there, and he was making light of these people that believe in the Christian greeting, as it says right there. But the new believer had some tapes over here, and he had a tape playing, reading New Testament scripture. And while the man was scoffing and making fun of this practice of the Christian greeting, the tape over there, the speaker of the machine was saying, greet all the brothers with the holy kiss. And the fellow was stunned. What did I just hear? He's reading the Bible and he just said it. Where did that come from? You know, it's a divine coincidence, okay? There is a place and a time and a way to apply that scripture. I charge thee by the Lord Jesus Christ that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. It wasn't only for the Thessalonian church. It was for Grace Fellowship Church and the Providence congregation where we normally are attending. And it's for your congregation. It's for everybody. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. To God be the glory.